Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. Hope everyone has had a great week so far. I know it's only Tuesday, but I hope you have a better week to follow. Hey, Pam, how are you tonight? Hey, Kate. Good to have you
guys
here.
Hello. Doing great. How are you both doing?
If I was any better, I don't know. I'd be twins, you know? But I say.
Oh, yes, and what she said.
Now, there you go. Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. So, Pam, what is happening? What? Tell us all about tonight.
Well, tonight we have our theme is the art of Bertha Morisot, who was a impressionist artist, a French impressionist artist, born in 1841, died in 1895 at the young age of 54. A little bit about Bertha. She married also a brother of a fellow Impressionist artist. They had one child together. She actually started painting at a young age with informal training, and then was eventually in her early 20s able to get some more formal training. She had her first art exhibition in 1864. However, much of her earlier work actually doesn't exist, because up until 1869, she destroyed the majority of her work being displeased with it. So if you're a temperamental artist or poet who deletes your work because you're not happy with it, know that this has happened long throughout history. So.
Wow.
And yeah. She throughout the year, she became increasingly happier with her artwork. She started learning new techniques and styles, and eventually grew to use a looser brush stroke than she previously did. She would often get frustrated with her artwork being labeled as full of feminine charm by male critics, because she felt like they didn't look past the fact that she was female. I can't really think of anything else. I mean, she was definitely a gifted artist, and I'm looking forward, of course, to delving into tonight's poetry that was inspired by her.
Very nice. Very nice.
Let me just close my bedroom door that the dog just opened, and then I will go ahead and we'll get that first poem and we'll get started. We've got a nice full board tonight. All right, so let's see what we got here. Oh, I see Darkened Auras on the board. Hello. Hello, DA. Good to see you. All right. All right. So our first poem is a classic poem titled, "My Shell, My Heart. My Heart Shall Be Thy Garden" by Alice Meynell. And it goes like this. My heart shall be thy garden, come my own, into thy garden, thine be happy hours amongst my fairest thoughts, my tallest flowers, from root to crowning petal, thine alone, thine is the place from where the seeds are sown, up to the sky enclosed with all its showers, but ah, the birds, who shall build bowers to keep these thine? O friend, the birds have flown. For as these come and go and quit our pine to follow the sweet season or new corners, sing one song only from our alder trees. My heart has thoughts which, though thine eyes hold mine, flit to the silent world and other summers with wings that dip beyond the silver seas. End poem. And I chose this poem because I felt like it fit with the artwork. First of all, she was actually born only a few years after the artist, but also because Bertha Morisot's art often took place outside and, you know, amongst nature, I felt like the garden references and the tree references and nature references really fit. And I like that this is about love and that dream of connection, but it also speaks at the end and the idea of wanting more, of wanting to explore the world. And Kate, your thoughts on this classic poem?
Well, it certainly is classic. That is really lovely. I love the way, although I'm saying it is classic, but it's not like old-fashioned. It's beautifully written. It could be as easily written today as it would have been perhaps 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Just beautifully done. I think really good sentences will always be that way. If you pick your words carefully, they'll never age. That's a great idea, isn't it? I must do that myself.
It is. I like that thought.
Yeah, cool. And I love the birds. And I love the word bowers. Doesn't that sound like... Yeah, I always wanted little secret places to be in when I was a child, you know, little tiny spaces. And that sounds ideal. I'll build myself a bower. I think it's...
Well, a little hideaway.
Yeah,
like
cool.
My kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, when I was younger, and it probably still is, one of my favorite books was The Secret Garden.
Yeah.
And I always wanted my own secret garden. So I have to agree with you there, Kate. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Your secret garden is going to be surrounded by rhubarb. Just saying.
That's right.
I love it.
Uh-huh. That's right. My secret garden has rhubarb in it for sure.
All yep. around it. You're going to be your fence all around your secret garden. Tall, beautiful bundles of rhubarb.
And
I thought the poem was wonderful. I like the imagery and the I thought it was just a pretty poem in it. You know, I can't wait to hear the rest of the poetry for tonight. I think it's going to be wonderful. Great job. I think it was a great choice, Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I thank you. Well, thank you. And yes, the poetry is definitely going to be wonderful. I did actually run three contests. The first contest will be the main contest where I had a variety of her artwork. And then the next contest was an 8 spots only, which was a quote. And then the third one, I focused on a single painting of hers. And I'll wait to talk about the second and third contest as we get to those. So anyways, I guess we will go ahead and move on to the next poem. All right.
Oh my goodness.
All right. Up next, we have What We Never Were by Ben Hart. And Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
I would be pleased to. Thank you. Right. The Wedding. Looking in on Black Swan Muse waltzing in white, in flight from everything before this moment, and never coming down again. And I felt as she intended it for me to feel, all too real. The lost way she looked at me, over her partner's shoulder, the depth of the room, the pace of her sway, the shadows that loom across my face, the weight of my fault, this dreamer's decay, the halt, the losing of the race, the cold of my hands and where they were placed, the dying of a man, in the presence of grace. And I knew what you were telling me. I release you from Plan B, and if you must love, love what we never were, enough for the both of us. What we never were. Ben, my darling, I feel your breathing. Safely return to my skin and water the garden, somewhere below the lungs in my chest and the wings on my back. Prayer at the altar of life. And I know the way you speak is a disguise. When the tides in your eyes shift from sea of empty motion into a maelstrom of melancholy. And I know when to remind you that you're safe with me because I tamed the beast and remind you of the strength it took to subdue that storm. I have loved you among blue away winds that cherish the perishing of distance. Every time I heard mine, I have loved you. From the first word you wrote, all your love and all your lonely, and I salute your suffering, my dear Ben. I love all you gave me, a girl with your star-born eyes, who sings like me, lullabies. She wrote when I got pregnant, and a boy with his father's wrist and his mother's smarts. I love everything we made, Ben, but our family was our greatest piece of art. We were stars that learned how to shine in dark. I know who you are. My eyes know you. My reach knows you. My touch knows you. My mind knows you, and so does my body. I know who you are, Ben. I know who you are. The warrior that chose instead to tend the garden, whose love does not bar. Every romance needs a martyr, and he'll be damned if it's not him, the monster that died for something temperate. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Kate. And what a beautiful write by Ben Hart. And Jean, your thoughts on this write?
You know, it's a beautiful write. I love the, you know, the black swan means walking in white. I love that sentence there and how he referred to her as black swan. The black swan bride is the name of the image. Amazing. Well, this is amazing. There's a great pull together there. And it kind of gives you a whole different mindset of, you know, this black swan, you know, and trying to picture that in white is kind of gives you something to mull over in the very beginning of the poem. But I think that it was really full of wonderful, wonderful thoughts. And I liked how he ended the first section of this with, love what we never were, enough for the both of us. And then how he flipped it around, and the next vignette is you know, titled What We Never Were. And it's very full of imagery, it's full of emotion, it's full of descriptions of a life that never was, from what I need to word it. But I think it was just a really, really well done piece. So Ben, thanks for sharing with us. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Kate, you did a beautiful read of that. Your thoughts?
Oh, it was a lovely piece of poetry to read. It really was. I'm afraid I was a little fast with it, but that was only because my mouth was drying up so badly, I didn't think I'd be able to finish it. So I do apologize. I may have sounded a bit muffled. That was all that was. But I think some of these wonderful stanzas, I think the one I particularly like, because it's a different way to express yourself. And I know the way you speak is a disguise when the tide in your eyes shifts from a sea of empty motion into a maelstrom of melancholy. And I know when to remind you that you're safe with me, because I tamed the beast, and remind you of the strength it took to subdue that storm. That's just brilliant, isn't it? It's not just a case of, look, I understand you, don't worry. This is just a beautiful stanza saying exactly that, but in the most delightful way. So, yes, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely, yes. I'm really, really glad Ben was inspired. I think this is a beautiful write, has amazing imagery and metaphors, a strong emotional impact. I like how the focus of the write is the story or the idea of being at a wedding of someone you used to be in a relationship with and thinking about what you've lost and what you once had. It feels like a poem that speaks on closure. And knowing that it's time to move on. I really like that imagery, that line that Jean pointed out on Black Swan Muse waltzing in white. And another part I really liked is where he says the depth of the room, the pace of her sway, the shadows that loom across my face, the weight of my fault, the dreamer's decay. And there's a kind of a sense of guilt within that. And then the second part where she says, you know, Ben, my darling, I feel your breathing safely returned to my skin and watered the garden somewhere below the lungs in my chest. And I have loved you among the blew away winds that cherish the perishing of the distance. I like how there's this expression of love and this expression of admiration. And yet at the same time, this kind of sense, as I said, of moving on. You know, it's feels so beautifully personal. So wonderful, right, and very well done. All right. Let's see who we shall have next. And, of course, we know that the next reader is going to be Jean. So brace yourself, Jean.
Oh, God.
Right. No, it's not that. It's actually me.
You said it.
I thought I could give you a scare.
That's right, Pam. Give me a hard time. It's
The Good Old Days Before Technology by Jenny the Deep. And go ahead, Jean.
Oh, gosh. I lost that right there. Okay. The Good Old Days Before Technology by Jenny the Deep. In high school, I thought I knew it all. Didn't care about the past, but learned to. Dived into history books, grateful we evolved. Took another look. I see what we are about to fall. I see we are about to fall. Life before technology was hard work, yet extremely satisfying and rewarding. Reading books were enjoyed, not burned. Picked plump peaches by hand to make cobbler. Now machines are taking over our land. Violins and guitars were a rare talent. Now with the push of a button, music plays at random. To really enjoy life's simple pleasures is sadly now a thing of the past. Fresh cut grass will soon be dirt mound. New technology and advances will explode. Humans too smart for their own good will cause a mechanical apocalyptic end to what was once a promising beginning. End quote.
Great read, Jean, and a wonderful write by Jenny. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yes, Jenny could not have said a truer word. That is the way we are going. What is of a button or a click of a switch would have taken our way back ancestors hours to do. And yes, they were fitter, they were healthier, they're probably hungrier by all of that, because they were very poor, most of them. The trouble with the olden days was the money was always with the top layer, and the bottom layer had to try and get on with it, which is a blooming shame. I wish things were different, I really do. It should be, everybody should have enough to live with and live on. So, but that's our world the way it is. I shouldn't be complaining. But yes, I thought this was very relevant. And very well done. Thank you, Jenny.
Absolutely. And I like that you referred to it as relevant, because I have to agree with that. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was a well-written piece by Jenny. And it's full of truth. You know, it's just full of truth throughout the piece. You know, so many things have been taken over by technology. Your kids don't run out and, you know, ride their bike around the block and around the block and around the block and around the block again. They're now in the living room pretending to ride a bike around the block, to ride on the block, around the block on a virtual reality game. You know, that it's just a whole different concept now. You know, the thing is, when they're outside doing it, they get a little sunshine to go with it, so they get a little vitamin D, and it's a little healthier for them. You know, and she's talking about how we used to pick peaches, you know. And it's true, now that's a mechanically handled process in a lot of places, not every place, you know. Well, farmers can't all afford all that equipment. But some do, you know. So it's kind of amazing. And you're right down to the music, you know. It used to be a rare talent. People just, you know, learned and persevered to learn how to play the guitar and the violin, you know, and now it's like almost not even necessary because somebody else can just create music just by playing around with, you know, some buttons on the computer. So it's true. I agree with her 100%. So well done, Jenny, and thanks for sharing. I don't know, I'm rambling, so I'm sorry.
I like that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Yeah, this is a wonderful write on by Jenny and speaking on how, you know, the truth of changing times. You know, and to me, technology is both a blessing and a curse because, you know, I mean, there is so much more we can do nowadays and so many more people we can be in contact with because of technology. But it does tend to shut us out, and you know, and especially for children, that's a shame, because you know they should be outside, as you were saying, Jean, getting that opportunity to have sunlight, and you know, even you know, when I was a kid, I still had you know, my grandparents and my aunts and my mom and everyone that I knew did canning and gardening. And now technology wise, you know, I think there is an important aspect to, the way we can, you know, get food together more quickly for the amounts of people that need it. But at the same time, it's losing its quality and we're losing the experience of interacting with, what we eat before it's in the can, before it's on the plate. I really like that second stanza. Life before technology was hard work, yet extremely satisfying and rewarding. Reading books were enjoyed, not burned. Picked plump peaches by hand to make cobbler. Now machines are taking over our lands. I also really like how she reminds us at the end that we're heading towards destruction because of our own foolishness, because of our own overwhelming need to overuse technology. So wonderful, right? And very well done. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. And I see Dark and Doris says, too much truth in that one. Absolutely, yes. Well said there. All right. And up next, we have Abigail by Silent Tree. And it goes like this. A linen frock drapes the bones of Abigail, her slender frame a flock of nightingales. Chestnut locks cast perfume vapor trails, a secret held so deep inside, her silent shadow kept alight, milk velvet skins whispers of her embrace, night's blue touch wilts the blossom vase, moist hands clench locked lips and face, an appetite herself to fight, heavy breath, chest so tight, calloused fingers plucking nocturne poetry, a rosewood rhyme she recites the rosary, pale silk thread scars and muted reveries. Can she unveil herself tonight, her naked shell in candlelight, her fertile waist neath bows of satin sash, the mandolin notes and hues of maple ash, palms were bruised by belt's leather lash. Will she ride away only to find we can't leave the past behind? End poem. And Jean, your thoughts on this poem?
An interesting poem. It was great rhyme throughout, that first off. I want to start there. I wasn't keeping up at first. And all of a sudden I went, wait a minute, you know, started listening a little closer and I'm going, okay. Calloused fingers plucking nocturne poetry. In rosewood rhyme, she recites the rosary. Pale skin, thread scars, and muted reverie. Oh, okay. So I went, But then when you got down here, her fertile waist meets those of satin sash. the mandolin notes infused with maple ash. Palms were bruised by belt's leather lash. I went, okay. So it's got a dark, a real dark thread running through it. And I think it was just really nicely done. There's great imagery throughout in many of the lines. And it makes you pause when you're reading it. It's kind of like, you kind of take a deep breath and go, wait a minute. So I'd like to give it a good solid reread before I leave a written comment, but just really nicely done, Silent Three. Nicely written and put together. So I liked it very much.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. It definitely is one of those writes that it's got that darkness to it that really makes you pause and reflect. So wonderful comment. Yeah. And Kate, your thoughts?
I like the fact that it seems to be set in a time before motor vehicles and electric lights and everything. So that gives it a more old-fashioned air to me. Anyway, and I do like that. I love candlelight. And so here we have somebody who thinks that she can, you know, she can be herself. And then she realizes, no, probably she can't be herself. So she's going to have to ride away. She won't be able to leave the path behind. I think it's mystery, and I do like mystery. You know, why is she going? What secret does she hold? Hey, what's going on? So we need to know. Interested folk need to know Silent Tree. We need more. But yes, I thought it was brilliant. I like that. So many lovely lines. The ones that you picked out, Gina, I thought were lovely. It ended with the pale silk thread scars and muted reveries. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Very well done. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I'm really glad that Silent Tree was inspired. And I honestly don't know if that was the name of the painting. I didn't really look at the individual names of the paintings or if she made up the name Abigail to give to the artwork. But either way, it works because, you know, Abigail is such a beautiful old-fashioned name. That it works well. And I thought this really was a nice takeoff of not only the individual prompt that she chose, but the artwork itself, which most of it was painted in like the, 1850s, 1860s, around there. And fits well with the time period. I thought this had great rhyme and flow. I like how she goes, alternates between the three-line stanzas and the two-line stanzas. I really think the varying of the stanza length in a consistent pattern really makes it visually appealing. I like to me how this is a story of a young woman who has desires, has sensual desires, who has desires for poetry and music, and yet she lives in a world that, is constrict, not only constricting, but to me, I get the impression of abuse, and that comes through with her fertile waist, neath bows of satin sash, the mandolin notes and hues of maple ash, palms were bruised by belt's leather lash. Will she ride away only to find we can't leave the past behind? I like that the ending and the idea that, yeah, you can run from everything that is restraining you and everyone who is abusing you, but there will always be that part of the past that unfortunately sticks in your mind and sticks in your heart and, that it's difficult to pull away from. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. And I got to say, Pam, I know you're going to move on, but those two lines, the couplets throughout, they struck me as a different perspective on Abigail. You know, they were more about her kind of internal thoughts, I think, more than the external descriptions of her. I could be wrong as I was looking at them. I'm like, yeah, because it says, can she unveil herself tonight, her naked shell and candlelight? But it was more of a personal thought, her inward thought of Abigail. You know what I mean? Could she? I don't know.
You know
I
what?
You're
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
I can definitely see that. Because you're right. The three-line stanzas are more descriptive of her outward appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, the inner line. And really, those two-line stanzas, you could almost read as a second poem.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. They work together that well.
Well, you know, before I went over and looked at the prompt, as I started to read this, a linen frock drapes her bones, drapes the bones of Abigail, her slender frame, a flock of nightingales. I actually was, my mind was somewhere completely different, you know, because it just sounded, you know, I don't know, it sounded like a corpse kind of thing, you know what I mean? Like a real dark beginning. And then I kind of went, yeah, it must not have been that. You know, I kept on reading it. Then, you know, I got down to the abusive kind of lines in it. And I said, wow, this is really something. But I went over and looked at the image, and I was like, well, maybe I'm just crazy. But, you know, whatever strikes you.
Right.
Because, you know, look at things, and it strikes us differently. So I totally get it. But, yeah, I definitely see, like, you know, this underlying kind of abusive thing and her trying to work her way through it in these couplets. And then the last two lines, will she ride away only to find we can't leave the past behind? In other words, when she runs away, as she runs away, when she ran away, as she left, whatever, you know, does she think that it's all going to just disappear is what I get from those last two lines. But a really well done piece, really, very much.
Absolutely. No, I think those are wonderful thoughts shared. Thank you. Thank you. And yes, I can definitely see that. All right. Well, up next we have Parrot Taming by Kay Heartless. And Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
I certainly will. So here we go. We have Parrot Taming by Kay Heartless. What pretty plumage. At least that's what the misters say. With upright stance, strong legs, and disposition gay. In time, they'll teach me to mime, as well as you. Sit still on perch, memorize the appropriate gesture, turn of phrase. Intuit the proper way to entertain. Monogamous by nature, women are, after all, said to be bird-brained. But with beautiful plumage like ours, we can parrot our way upward, take center stage, each within our own respective cage. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Kate, and just a stunning write by Kay Heartless. Strong imagery and metaphors. You know, I found it fascinating because there was definitely some pieces, and Kate's was not Kate. I'm sorry, I don't even know what Kay stands for. Kay's was definitely one that you know, stood out as speaking on the underlying darkness of the time period, especially when it came to the expectations of women. In fact, one of the reasons that Bertha Morisot couldn't get a formal art training right away as a young lady was because women weren't allowed to have a formal art training. And I think that for much of this artwork, to me, there is a sweetness and an innocence. But when you think deeply about the time period and the lack of rights that women had and how they were just supposed to, you know, perform the way they were told to perform, walk the way they were told to walk, and, you know, be, you know, this prize, this, you know, to put up for show but not actually have any real thoughts. I thought this had some really biting lines to it all the way through, but I have to say that I really particularly like Intuit, the proper way to entertain, monogamous by nature, women are, after all, said to be bird brain. but with beautiful plumage like ours, we can parrot our way upward, take center stage, each within our own respective cage. Those are definitely strong lines, and the idea of the hope that you're going to make it somewhere, but knowing that you'll either way, that you'll still be in a cage. You know, it'll just be a fancier cage. And so wonderful, right, and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts.
You know, I looked at the prompt and I read these words. And, you know, based on what you had said about the artist, I was like, wow, this is like kind of brilliant, you know. You expect to hear about this bird, but it's this little girl telling the bird what's going to happen to her, how it's going to be with her life. And I thought that was really a great take on it. You know, I thought it was really a well done write. And I think that she really nailed the what I said was a wonderful take on the prompt. I think it was a great reflection of the trials the artist had to cope with throughout her artistic journey. I guess that's a better way to put it than me stumbling over my words. But just a really nicely done piece, and clever, very clever. Good thinking, Aiken. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful comment. And Kate, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
Thank you. Yes, I, of course, like all of us, or most of us would have thought, well, she's talking about the parrot. That's lovely. I've got a parrot. It sits up nice and straight. And we go on from there and you think, okay, yeah, it's a little bit more in depth. They'll teach me to mime as well as you. Okay. So you're just being used as an ornament on somebody's arm, perhaps, when you're older. And then you start to get the real point of it. Intuit the proper way to entertain. But with beautiful, I like that last stanza. I mean, that again brings it all together. But with beautiful plumage like ours, we can parrot our way upward, take center stage, each within our own respective cage. But she's aware of the fact that's the way her life is going to be,
mm-hmm.
because that's the way it is for everybody. But it doesn't mean that you have to just sit mute within your cage. You can then do the or learn or do whatever you want to do. And you can go to different places, even if you are still in that cage, and with the hope and with the knowledge that things will change. So yes, I really enjoyed it. Like you say, I think it was very clever.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And great observations there, Kate, on the idea, on the thought of having that hope that eventually you will escape from that cage. Great observation. All right. Well, up next, we have the sensation The Sensation of Prickles by Mandy42. Apparently, all poetry takes the first part of the word prickles as a swear word. Go figure.
Well, of course they do. Oh,
yes. They're extra cautious.
Oh, my.
And Jean, would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure, and I'm going to say it out loud on air. The Sensation of Prickles by Mandy42. Just saying, you know, we got them, Pam. We covered it. You know, the image is great, and this is a quote I believe she may have used as a prompt. I love only extreme novelty or the things of the past by Bruce Morissette. On the one day in summer we took to the fields, daisies shimmied around our shins, and prickles peppered my petticoat. We lived each other's life. Remember the breeze? Like watercolor on hot canvas, I longed for that stifling heat because I felt it with you. Innocent hearts, eager minds, impressionistic souls, unhindered and bound. Each touch was exceptional. Your fingers left flushed prints that I could place them hours later, long after sunset parted us. I remember spinning until I was too dizzy to stand, but it was you who took my equilibrium. Time your lips warmed mine after. I never did close my eyes. I still paint you, head tilted back, to revere the sun, the sky, the heaven, broad hands outstretched to welcome all radiance. He remembered walking in that field of daisies and plucking prickles from my petticoat. He remembered losing yourself in forgotten sensation. My eyes are still open, and for the two of us, I'll remember. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Jean. And what a beautiful write by Mandy42. I'm really glad she was inspired and that she put the prompt along with the chosen painting, which the painting she actually put was the self-portrait of Bertha Morisot. And Kate, your thoughts?
My thoughts are a bit jumbled because I can't actually find the poem.
I will repost it, and you can, while you look for that, I'll go ahead and Jean, I know you just read that, but your thoughts.
That's not fair. I'm just saying. I think it was a lovely piece. I really do. Reminiscent, in the way it is written. On that one day in summer, we took to the field. And, you know, all those wonderful memories that followed from that. You know, apparently they're not together anymore, but she'll remember for the two of them. And I thought that the imagery was beautiful. The way it was presented was really nicely done. I really enjoyed it. I was a little bit thrown by the the font, because I felt like I needed to change something. I did. And I'm like, oh God, where do I go with this? But other than that, I thought it was a wonderful read. And that was basically me just being confused. You know, maybe that was her thoughts more so than what actually transpired. I mean, I don't know for sure, but it was beautiful. I loved it. Daisies shimmied around our shins and prickles peppered my petticoat. And, you know, I could imagine that, because I'm not sure exactly what her description or what her vision of a prickle is. But I know, when we used to have the barn and the horses and everything, there was a field. And in the field, you get these little things, and they were kind of round, like oval at the top. And they had these two little things that came off of it. And they would get caught on everything. And that's exactly what I pictured, all these little black dots all over this petticoat. So, it was great imagery there for me. Remember the breeze, like watercolor on hot canvas. That's a really cool image there in itself, the way that was described. Because, you know, you get the hot canvas, but the watercolor is, like, just so cooling. It's a really neat way to say it, so. Excellent job, Mandy. I think this is a great piece and very well done. So thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And you know, I know exactly what you're talking about. We call them up here, we call them prickly burrs. And the house I used to live at as a child was on top of a hill, and the hill led down to a lake. And the hill was just, oh my goodness, notorious for those prickly burrs. We were constantly, and a lot of times we just would run, of course, barefoot down the hill, and it was guaranteed, there'd be at least a few times or more in the summer that a child would, get one or two of those things in the bottom of their foot. What was that? Sorry.
No, it wasn't important. Go ahead. Carry on, girl. Carry on.
All right. Carry on, wayward son. All right.
When you were done.
Because Mandy, like you were saying, because Mandy's from Australia, I'm not 100% sure if prickles are the same thing as a prickly burr, but it sounds like it. I like how this speaks. I like how it has a delicate sensuality. Wonderful imagery and metaphors, nice light touch, which works well with the alliteration. Daisies shimmied around our shins and prickles peppered my petticoat. we lived each other's lives. I like how she speaks on two people, that there's a connection between innocent hearts, eager minds, impressionistic souls, unhindered and bound. I also like her use of the word impressionistic, sense. Bertha Morisot was an impressionism artist, and she was actually close friends, especially with her husband's brother. I'm blanking on the name now, but he was one of the other members of the Impressionism artists. And so, there's a sensuality to it, but, it also speaks on, it's a nod towards the closeness of the Impressionism artists, in my opinion. And I like how there's a nostalgic feel and a bittersweetness and the idea of remembering those beautiful times. That eventually had to come to an end. So wonderful, right? And very well done. And Kate, would you like to make a comment?
Dearie me. Well, the first comment I'd like to make is, I am an idiot. And the second comment I'd like to make is, I was looking for the sensation of prickles, and what I was seeing was the sensation of less. So I didn't realize that was the same poem. I had it there all the time. So sorry.
That's why I said that. Yep. I got confused when I read the title, because I was like, the sensation of, and I'm like, of less? Like, that doesn't make sense. So, and then when it was like, oh, I get it now. Okay, yep, all poetry takes out the first part of prickles.
Oh, dear. I really couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, yeah, here we are, strikes again. Typical. But yes, anyway, let's get back to this lovely piece of poetry that is full of prickles. I just love that. The first few lines are just so evocative. So it takes you right back to when you're a child. On that one day in summer, we took to the fields, daisies shimmied around our... Yeah, you've read that already. Beautiful. I won't read it again. But then we have innocent hearts, eager minds, impressionistic souls, unhindered and bound. Each touch was exceptional. Yeah, I thought it was lovely. I thought it was really nice. And we go on. And then with that last few lines, my eyes are still open, and for the two of us, I'll remember. Beautiful. Well, yes, very well written. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And up next we have How You Made It Here, Bertha Morisot, by S. Sharp. You have traveled generations across blooming passions, dying emblems of your faith in tow, your children and theirs followed from rural cottages in snows of spring, dying embers of summer, fall, and winter, starting all over again, earth tones stroked upon a mind's imagination, where wind-blown golden leaves cling to life, while you have become immortal. Modern suburbia, city life, humble house, along now paved roads, Mozart playing in the background, you hung like the luminous moon in the new life cycle, framed in perpetuity, full and robustly beautiful. Your mother would surely be proud. End poem. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. Sorry, I was on mute. And I have something popping up. Oh, dear me. Yes, this is just so lovely. I mean, it really is. The fact, and looking back looking forward, how you made it here. You traveled generations across blooming passion, dying embers with your faith, and told your children. So you have traveled generations. I think that basically means that they've been there a while, and this has all happened as time went on. They evolved and they changed, and they then became, in a modern suburban city. We'll continue to go on, obviously. But I love the fact that the end we have, your mother would surely be proud. That's lovely. That really is. I like that a lot. So, yes, this is a family's journey, I'm presuming, how you made it here, Beth. Well done. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, I like how you speak on it being the idea of a family's journey. Great observation. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I like this piece by Scott. You know, it was not a really long piece, but I think it really had an impact of imagery and you know, what he had stated there. You know, I like Kate's comment as well. But, you know, there's two ending lines. Yeah, I like that as well. I thought that was a great way to tie it together. Modern suburbia city life, humble house along now paved roads. Mozart playing in the background. You hung like a luminous moon in the new life cycle. Framed and perpetuated, perpetuity, full and robustly beautiful. Your mother would surely be proud. I thought that was a great ending stanza, completely, from beginning to end, because it painted a picture. Right there, it just painted a picture. Doesn't say what she looked like, didn't have to. And that's always a smart thing to do, because you can slip anybody you want into there and make it your own. And that was a great great way to do this. So great job, Scott, and thanks for sharing with us. I'm sorry. I'm mouthy tonight. I'm really rambling. Sorry.
Great comment. Thank you. And, yeah, I really like this. I like how I think it does speak on a journey. I think it could speak on the journey of a family, the journey of an individual, or even the journey of women throughout history. I like how the first stanza feels more obviously, I think to me, it's old-fashioned, looking back on the past. And then with modern suburbia city life in the beginning of the second part, it brings us into those modern times and, you know, shows the progress of going from those dusty roads to those paved roads. And yet, you know, there's some things that still remain the same. The idea that we still desire, I think, to live up to other people's expectations. I really like Mozart playing in the background. You hung like the luminous moon in the new life cycle. You know, and I think that speaks in the idea of making adjustments to changing times. I also really like the imagery of embers of summer, fall, and winter starting all over again, earth tone stroked upon a mind's imagination. You know, I like that speaks on the passing of the seasons. So a wonderful rite speaking on transition and changing times and journeys made. A wonderful rite and definitely very well done. And let's see what we have next. All right. Grabbing the next one. And all right. So let me see here. Aha. We have Just a Little Bit Longer by Julie Buck. And Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, of course, I would be happy to. Just a Little Bit Longer, Julie Buck. Just a little bit longer, please. The yellow sun right now is perfect, and soon I'll be home, having to feed Mama Sow. I dream of being a mama, a wife, and a woman who is free. But for now, men wear the ruling pants, so I'll be who I be. Mama said to always sit up straight, wear my sun hat, and keep tight the girdle. I say sip some iced tea and read a poetry book under the blooming crepe myrtle. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Kate. And what a great write by Julie Buck. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was another great piece, you know, reflecting a woman's place, you know, and I'm using my air quotes. I know you can't see them. You know, my dream.
Just about. I had a feeling you were making them.
I was. See, you're getting, you're You're learning. Yeah, I'll get you all set up. I think that it, you know, I don't know, just a little bit longer, please. The yellow sun right now is perfect, and soon I'll be home having to feed Mama Sal. But I dream of being a mama, a wife, and a woman who is free. But for now, men wear the ruling pants, so I'll be who I be. You know, and then it goes on to mama's advice, you know, sit up straight, you know, and all those wonderful things that women should be this way. Oh my God, I'd have never made it, ever. Mm-mm. I think that, I think it was really done, done well. And Julie, I think that this was another great piece by you. It wasn't real long, but it definitely set the pace for the times. I guess that's a good way to put it. And it went really well with the image. So I think you did a fine job with this. And thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment. And yeah, you're right. It is a great reflection of the image and also of that time period. And as we talked about earlier, how women were often treated during that time period. So great comment. And Kate, your thoughts.
Yes, I agree with you. Very well written. The pathos there is it's just quite sad, in as much as this is a person whose mind is going to be far, far away from her actual life, because what's in her head, what she wants, is not going to happen in her lifetime. But she's, you know, intelligent enough to realize that it's not going to happen, because men are wearing the ruling pants. So for her own sake, she'll just have to be, and it's not be who I be, it's what they want me to be. Because let's face it, if you go back to Victorian times, the Edwardian age, with the bustles and the girdles, as we see here, and women doing nothing but sitting at home, sipping tea, and learning how to sew, etc. And this is not me being feminist in any way whatsoever, but that's the way they want us to be. They didn't want us to be taught, to be educated, to have any freedom. And they're afraid. Men are desperately trying to get back to that stage all the time, and it's just not going to happen. But to me, that's how it feels. It feels that that was a way to control us and to keep us little ladies busy. Go and sip your tea. Well, I say no, thank you. I'd rather sip a beer. So, yes, I liked it. Thank you very much.
You and you both, Kate, especially on hot days like today. Great comment there. Wonderful observation. Yeah, I really like this one. It was short, but it was impactful. I like how, you know, she doesn't just describe the picture, but really goes deep into the reflection of what she sees as the young woman's personality. And you can look at the painting and see that it looks like this young woman is really in deep thought. I did definitely like the bite to this and the feminist undertone to it that really struck a chord. I dream of being a mama, a wife, and a woman who is free. But for now, men wear the ruling pants, so I'll be who I be. And I like those lines because it speaks to me, you know, that that she wants to be a mother and a wife, but she also wants to be free, you know, and because, you know, to be able to, you know, be more than just one or two things, to be able to spread your wings. I thought adding in the girdle was a nice touch. My son, Mama said to always sit up straight, wear my sun hat and keep tight the girdle. You know, and really speaks on how society in so many ways constricted women when it came to expectations. So just a wonderful imagery, strong lines, and very well done. Thank you, Julie. All right. And up next we have Bertha Morisot, Reflections of Self by Rose Winter 515. and Jean. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. You know, I always feel bad reading the title and the name right after you do it. But I just, my knuckles, you know, there's rulers on my knuckles. There's a Morissette, Reflections of Self, by Rose Winner 515. Bertha Morissette, Reflections of Self, Reflections of Soul, painted in rainbows, pastel artist, glitter colors and oil, with impressionist waves, Paris or canvas. Fleeting light and soul, spirit brave, swift, graceful strokes, colors of the air, vibrancy, magic touch, had a sprinkle of fairy dust, portraits and landscapes, scenes of every day, like Renoir, bright and sunny, new horizons, vision and joy of life. Women of women of resolve, gentle and wise, kind, sweetheart, generous and loyal. Language, spontaneity, sparkled in art as she outshone. Her soul, a brilliant star, fire and sky, touching our heart. End poem.
Great read, Jean. And a wonderful write by Rose Winter 515. I was really glad she was inspired, and I thought this was a beautiful dedication, a beautiful look at the artist herself. You know, I really like how she speaks not only on the spirit of the artist, but on her. On her art style, with the mention of pastel artist, watercolors and oil with impressionistic wave, Paris, her canvas. She actually, for quite a while, Bertha Morissette avoided oil painting because she found it the most difficult to do, and oftentimes preferred watercolors and pastels, but then grew more into learning and becoming more in-depth at oil painting. So I like that Rose Winter captures that part of Bertha Morissette's painting style. And then with portraits and landscapes, scenes of every day, like Renoir, bright and sunny, new horizons. And yeah, a lot of times, most of her art, if you look at it, is the outdoors, the everyday life, the people that she had in her life. In fact, her only child, her daughter Julie, was oftentimes a model for her paintings. So wonderful, wonderful tribute to the artist. And her style that was changing and developing into the mature individual style that it eventually became. A wonderful write. And Kate.
Yes, it was a wonderful, wonderful self-portrait, of course. But the words, so pretty as well. And that's kind of how I feel this is. This is pretty and it's vibrant and it's got magic in it, and it's got fairy dust in it. So it can't be any other than fascinating. But I thought that last stanza was really well done. Her soul, a brilliant star, fire in sky, touching our hearts. And that's what, you know, that's what anybody wants to do, don't they? If they put themselves out there as an artist of any description, and knowing they'll be judged, what they want is for people to like what they do. Not necessarily like them even, just like what they've given them to look at or to read. And I think this is very clever. I like it a lot. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. That's a great comment there because, yeah, it's difficult to put yourself out there with your artwork or your poetry. But, yeah, you do hope. You put it out there and you do hope that, it will speak to people and they will, like it. So very cool. And Jean, your thoughts.
Okay. I thought it was a lovely write and a nod to Bertha Morissette. Very well done. Each stanza representative of the facets of the artist, I thought. One line she speaks about Paris being her canvas. another one, she's talking about her being a fleeting soul. There's just so much going on here. And, you know, we are all multifaceted. But I like the way that she kind of put it out there in this poem, that I could kind of see these little pieces of this person and all pulled together. Her soul, brilliant star, fire and sky, touching my heart. Because basically that's what she does. She takes each one of these bits about Bertha and gets to the end and wraps it up in that. And I think it was nicely done in that respect. So nice work, Rosewinner 515. I really like the piece. And I, you know, yeah, I really did. So nice job.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. All right. And up next we have 1-6 by Liquid Mind Forever. And it goes like this. I challenge, I dare you, double dare you to roll your eyes, defy the gallant gent who tries to prevent your own landlordship. You are not on loan, not made of brittle stone, not to be bemoaned or feel in need to atone. Choosing to be alone, not a frigid genital of scrimshaw bone, known to no one in particular herself. Kerchief to hide the Adam's apple, your secret well hidden, always forbidden to the royals who let little people carry their suitcases with traces of white dust sprinkling the path into obnoxious intoxication with deceit. Discreet letters passed between gentleman and lady. Maybe street vendors can smell the fried over lies, breaded in languid language for the nearsighted buyers. Let's forget tomorrow, yesterday, and even today. Shall we parlay or disobey the larder of malevolent advent present amongst our tender young? Dress me in suede, rouge my cheeks, but never speak of important matters. Let the artist disguise with splattered paints the taint of bigotry and adultery. Camouflage the scent of musk, bathe away all foray. Today, yesterday, tomorrow, for our future lies securely corseted in crinolines, and our face embraces stoicism's altruism schism. Cast a net upon the sea of chance. Look right, look left. Feel the hot drops of rain seep into your socks and hear the tick-tock of Cinderella's shock as the prince knocks her down off her high horse. Of course, off course. Throat horse, paint, chixorol, offerings over opaque canvas, leave all imagining to the pubescent as we invent some treason for going on into the acrylic of Anne Lynn over a gestalt therapy and poem. And what a stunning write by Liquid Mind Forever, strong imagery and metaphors. And Jean, your thoughts.
Oh, no, I'm not going first on this one. Nice try, though, Pam. Nice try.
All right.
Sorry, Kate.
Okay. That's your last I'm not going first card for the show. You don't have another one until the next show.
You can surprise how many I've accumulated over 7 years. I got a few up my sleeve. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you've got a whole collection in your back pocket.
I do. I printed them.
Okay, well, Kate, your thoughts.
Well, I'm afraid I've got a very sore throat. I don't know if I'll be able to talk. Yes, I thought this was brilliant. sorry. I liked it. I particularly like the implications of the kerchief to hide the Adam's apple, your secret well hidden, always forbidden to the royals, who let the suitcases with traces of white dust sprinkling the path into obnoxious intoxication with deceit. That, you know, that says a lot. There's an awful lot veiled within that, and I enjoyed it so much. But let me go, yeah, a little bit further down. I love that word, gestalt. I just love it. Anyway, some treason for going on into the acrylic of Ayn Rand over gestalt therapy. Now, I have no idea what that means, but I like it a lot. It's very like art. I don't know what's good or bad, I just know I like it. Yeah, so yes, absolutely. I thought, wonderfully done. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, wonderful comment. And gestalt therapy is actually a form of psychotherapy that emphasizes personal responsibility and focuses on the individual's experience in the present moment.
Aha, right, cool. I don't know, I always thought gestalt was a sort of a state of mind. That's about as far as I got. But yes, if it's therapy, that would be so cool with a word like that. Thank you so much, Pam.
I don't know. You knew more than I did because I always thought gestalt had something to do with the German Nazi. It just sounds like something like German Nazi would shout out, you know?
Definitely a German word, yep. Definitely.
Yep, definitely. Well, and it's always great. One of the things I enjoy about reading poems on these shows and discussing them is when people bring new words or new thoughts to my attention that I, you know, didn't think about before. I thought this had strong biting lines, great imagery and metaphors. I liked the feminist tone of this, and it was a nicely written vignette with wonderful wordplay. She's got some great use of inner and end rhyme that works well. You know, to me, with the kerchief hiding the Adam's apple and the discrete letters, it really, and the mention of the frigidness, it really speaks on society's expectation in Victorian times, and as Kate mentioned earlier, Edwardian times, where there were certain things that just were kept secret, certain expectations that society had. There was a time period where, you know, in the Victorian times where you could be arrested for being homosexual. I really like these lines all the way through, but I think this part particularly speaks to me. Dress me in suede, rouge my cheeks, but never speak of important matters. Let the artist disguise with splattered paint the taint of bigotry and adultery. Camouflage the scent of musk, bathe away all foray. You know, I like how that speaks on the idea of dress me up all pretty. Dress me up to be presentable, but don't allow me to be a sensual being, a being with her own thoughts. And I like also where she has the wordplay of the tick-tock of Cinderella's shock as the prince knocks her down off her high horse, of course, off course, throat horse. You know, the wonderful wordplay there. And then, of course, a nod to Mr. Ed and the idea that a woman is nothing more than a puppet, a talking horse with no loud, no actual opinions of herself. So great write and very well done. All right, Jean, are you ready to hand over that card and make a comment?
You know, it's a wonderful write. It's very well written. And my feeble brain would take me a few more reads, because I've already read it twice while you guys were talking, to pull it all together and actually make an intelligent comment on it. By reading it, I can say, yes, it's a wonderful write. It was well put together and very well expressed. But as for, like I'm looking at it and I'm seeing different stages, different places in life as I'm coming through each one of these vignettes. And the title, 1 through 6, is kind of like, it's got me wondering if there's more to this than what I'm seeing. Or maybe there's less to it than what I'm seeing. But I have to say, Deborah, as always, you know, it's a stunning write. It's going to take me a little while to pull it together and give you some kind of intelligent comment on it. But, yeah. I mean, her wording's always great. Her use of words is always great. You know, it just, each stanza is a little bit different. And when I read them one after the other, I go, okay, we're going somewhere. So I just have to kind of figure out where I want, how I want to word what I see. So, anyway, that's it for me. I already handed over that card, but I got 15 more of them sitting right next to me. Don't you worry. I don't use them often, so I don't feel bad. But great job, Deb. Thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. And you're right. I mean, there definitely are rights that there are rights that you have to delve into more than once to fully take in the big picture of it. So I get that. All right. Well, up next we have Hustle and Bustle by Glenn Jay and Kate. Will you give that a read for us, please?
I will be happy to. Just a little bit of refreshing, and here we have it. Hustle and Bustle, Joplin Jay. The crude and gritty wall smoothens the precisely stitched back of her dress, but she feels nothing besides the ambient noise of the outside world peering towards any thought, not knowing if any day would be different, leaving all etiquette to perish as she betrays society's rich expectations of her. She relishes in the light, blemishing all standards. Her beauty withstands all, even as she deflects the poison dart looks from those who pass by. She waits for her chauffeur to take her life in the light, as she daintily forgoes all other commitments to anything or anyone, perhaps, maybe. Above all else in her morning observations, she is a mystery beyond all else, and cannot be apprehended for such defiance, as she is powerful domination in time of amplitude. Underestimating her would be a cowardly move, as she owns her place in the world. End poem.
Great read, Kate, and a wonderful write by Joplin Jay. I was glad to see that they were inspired by the artwork. And Jean, your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. Hang on. I was out there in another world. here's my second card, Pam. I swear to God, I was, like, zoning out. I'm so sorry. I'm going to read it real quick.
Nope.
I promise.
Okay. All right. No problem. Well, I really liked this one. I thought it was another one that was a great reflection of the artwork and the time period. This actually works well as also kind of a reflection on the artist herself, who was actually came from an extremely wealthy family who was very I can't think of the word I want to use. Well, I'll just say important, very important in their society. Her father was I forget what he was called, but he was actually a political figure with a good standing in the society. And, you know, but I like how this speaks on the, like that and on, to me anyways. But I like this all the way through with its imagery and this young woman who's rebellious towards, you know, what society expects of her. Not knowing if any day would be different, leaving all etiquette to perish as she betrays the society's rich expectations of her. She relishes in the light, blemishing all standards. I like the imagery, and she waits for her chauffeur to take her life in the light as she daintily forgoes all other commitments to anything or anyone, perhaps. The end line, it's interesting because the first few stanzas, you really get an impression of a young woman who, I do anyways, of a young woman from a rich family you know, who is just bored of life. And then it's almost like within that last stanza, she transforms into this woman of power, you know. As she is a powerful dominion in a time of amplitude, underestimating her would be a cowardly move, as she owns her place in the world. And I like how those end lines speak on the idea, I think, of how throughout history, many women have been underestimated, you know. So excellent write and very well done. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yes, I liked what you said there. That was excellent. Great observation about this particular young lady. Again, you see, the fact is that we're getting to see and hear about things in the past, which I think is great, because people are just looking at these pictures and thinking, yes, they're set in a particular time. And so that they respond by writing this kind of poetry, which is lovely. This feels to me as though we have some, again, an intelligent young woman who realistically understands exactly what her life is going to be if she lives it as other people want her to. But she's waiting. She's biding her time. She's thinking, okay, when I come into my own, when I have my own life, I can do more of what I want to do. And yes, it will be a gradual thing. But as the last line says, she owns her place in the world. So she knows where she is and what she can do. So I think this is very, very clever and most enjoyable. Thank you, Jocelyn J.
Absolutely. And yes, you're right. You can tell that people looked at this artwork. They saw that it came from a specific time period. And quite a bit of the poetry reflects that. And I think in both the positive and negative aspects, you know, it really has, I think, captured the voice and spirit of the artwork and the time period.
Mm-hmm.
So, great observation. And your thoughts, Jean?
I actually have some this time. I'm so sorry. Look, I gave up two cards already tonight. I don't think I've ever used one before. I thought this was a nice take. I'm telling you. I was just sitting here like daydreaming. I don't know what the hell. I heard my name and I'm going, whoa, I didn't even read the poem yet. You know, I'm like, oh, God. I'm so sorry. I thought this was a nice take on the prompt. Well written and a great story that they created for the image. Because I went back and I looked at you and I'm like, what image is that? And I went, oh, because we had done one on this before. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, they have totally created something all their own for that image. Because it went deeper. It dug deeper into the character that he created for her. You know, what was inside of that. Like, you know, if it was a person sitting on a bench, you know, he's not talking, she's not talking about the person sitting on the bench. They've created a personality and, you know, given it soul and thoughts and all of that. It's not about an image now. It's totally about this character. And I thought that was intriguing the way it was done. And I thought it was nicely done. You know, I have to say that I did like the last stanza and the very last line. You know, above all else in her morning observations, she is a mystery beyond all else and cannot be apprehended for such defiance, as she is a powerful dominion in a time of amplifying her would be a cowardly move, as she owns her place in the world. I thought it was great. Definitely not what I would have expected from that image, but I like it. I like how you build a character out of this girl sitting there. It's a nice work, and thanks for sharing with us, Jocelyn J.
Absolutely. And I like that you brought that up because, yes, that doesn't just describe the artwork. He does create a character with and looks deep into the artwork and finds the personality. So wonderful comment. All right. And up next we have Scene by Bill Schiller. And Jean, would you give that a read for us, please?
No, because I'm not there yet. Just give me a second.
Sure.
Kate, she thinks I'm everywhere. You know.
I do. Well, that's what you usually are. You're jumping from one studio to the next.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Omnipresent.
maybe that's the problem. Maybe I am in the wrong studio or something.
Okay.
The name of this piece is called Scene by Bill Fuller. Telling you, it's one of them days in my world. Okay, don't stare so sternly at me, she said, and she had already learned all about. She thought I was deservedly wrong. They all believe men are wrong. A firm glare can... I'm going to start this over. I'm sorry. Don't stare so sternly at me, she said. She had already learned all about me. She thought I was deservedly wrong. They all believe men are wrong. A firm glare can reverberate as gong the wall. Never get so lost in suspecting blear. You forget what's already crept upstairs, for eyes conspire with ears. They can hear the beer on your breath. There's no hiding kiss of whiskey lips. Beware the craze in a gaze. It will not save. When patience is defiled before demise, the teeth behind smile bite bleak as black eyes. Mouths may still lie like drink from cracked glass. That last look may not pass so fast. End poem.
Great read there, Jean. And this one by Bill definitely has some strong lines and intriguing imagery all the way through. You know, I have to say that I think some of my favorite parts, and I feel like this speaks on the idea of, you know, not being able to get away with the things that you would like to get away with. They can hear the beer on your breath. I remember my ex coming home one time, obviously when he wasn't my ex, and just reeking and trying to tell me that he hadn't been out drinking with his friends. It's like, really? I don't know any other woman who would have had this happen, but it's like, please. You were not only drinking beer, you were freaking swimming in beer. I really like that part. I like beware the craze and a gaze. That makes me think of that mother glare that my kids still, as a like near adults, say, you remember when we were little and mom would get that look on her face and everybody would just stand still? Right. But yeah, this has some great lines. You know, that idea of being caught off guard by that stern glare and that look that you know, says a whole heck of a lot. So great, right, Bill? I'm glad you were inspired. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, I love that. I've just been out for a pint. Well, that pint must have been 6 foot tall glasses, because that wasn't just the one pint. Definitely not. Because that what's that called? That a yard of ale? Have you seen that? I don't know if you've got them in America.
I have not heard of them.
Well, it's a competition kind of thing that they have in pubs. They used to have in pubs. I don't know if they bother now, but it's a glass. It's a. Imagine something about a meter long. And it's glass, and it's got a little round ball at one end and a long, long, long round tube, and then a little piece at the end. And they fill it up with beer. Now, you're going to try and drink this in one. But because of the way it's constructed, the air all sort of gathers in the bottom of the ball shape, and it will just keep coming up at you and taking the beer with it, and it's just hilarious. So that is what I think they'd be drinking. A pint, a yard. Anyway, that's just an old-fashioned bill.
I'm looking at pictures of them. They kind of look like bongs.
Yeah,
they're smoking pot. Yeah.
Oh, you see, I wouldn't have been able to use that as a means of explaining it, because I have never smoked pot. So I'm one of those. It wouldn't have been any good to me. I couldn't have done that. Yes, anyway. That was just beautifully done. I liked it a lot, because we all know that look, don't we? We know it. You know, your children think that you know everything, because you just say, I know what you've been doing with that look. And they're lost. they're caught, whether they're caught or not. I love it. It was very clever. So thank you so much for sharing, Bill.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful comment there. And Kate, or not Kate, sorry. I don't know what, oh my goodness, you can tell it's getting near the end of a show. I can't keep track of two people.
Well, that's okay, because I can't keep track of one, and that's me. I thought this was clever and well done. So I think that Bill did a good job with it. I kind of went the same place you did with this, Pam. You forget what's already crept upstairs, for eyes conspire with ears. They can hear the beer on your breath. There's no hiding kiss of whiskey lips. Beware the crazed and the gaze. It will not save. Yeah, I think that's kind of relatable, unfortunately. The thing is, you know, and they could be at the other end of the house. But after the, hey, I'm home, or how are you tonight, you already know that where they've been. Sometimes it just,
yep.
They give themselves away. So you can hear the beer on their breath. You know, you don't have to smell it. You can just know. Some people would call that intuition. I don't know. I think that it's just like common sense. But, yeah, I thought it was a good piece. Lots of nice lines, things to mull over. You know, his wording is different and unique. And, yeah, so great job, Bill, and thanks for sharing with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. All right. And up next we have Chimes on a Doorstep by Duncan Ross Bell. And it goes like this. Perpetual morbidity, lucidity, instances, glances, catch chances, circumstances, and a vital twitch. Corners of disorders, all hoarders and crack. Smack the answer, quote, disaster. Dance your heart out for dimes, quote, the answer. Smack disaster. Let the shadows eat crimes. Chimes on a doorstep, lost lovers in the wind, and poem. And I have to say, it's great to see that Duncan Ross Bell was inspired. I haven't seen him or his writing in a while, so that was really nice. As always, he's got hard-hitting lines, great imagery. I always feel like there's definitely a very lyrical kind of rap, hip-hop quality to his writing. You know, I like how this uses modern language, and yet I think it's another one using definitely more modern language, but focusing on the some of the darker undertones. If you look deeper, you can see in the artwork, in the idea of, if you think beyond just the surface of the painting and back to the time period. You know, I really like glances, catch chances, circumstances, and a vital twitch. I feel like circumstances and a vital twitch, you know, speaks on that, like, idea of that you can lose an opportunity within a split second. I really felt like he wrote a prompt 12, okay. I didn't see that at first. I was going to say I didn't know what he wrote to, but then I saw prompt 12. Chimes on a doorstep, lost lovers in the wind. You know, I feel like that reconnects with that beginning stanza, and as I was saying, that idea, you know, of having that opportunity for love or for something to happen, and then it just disappears. Thought-provoking, right, and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts.
I did it again. I told you I can't keep track of myself. Oh my God. Oh my God. I want to know. I don't know.
I get it. I really do. I get it. Well, we'll go with Pete.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand entirely. I have to confess that I actually dozed off point in one show, and luckily everybody thought I just forgot to press mute. So I know how it is. You just zone out sometimes. It's just it's tiredness. It's as simple as that,
did,
my dear.
I totally like gone. Like,
I know you.
Oh, my God. I seldom ever do that. Now I've done it 3 times in one show. Just about. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Two times.
You definitely need a little rest. Okay. Shall I put my tuppence worth in?
Absolutely.
Because it is only worth tuppence, but I just thought I'd jump in. I like this a lot. I really do. It's very clever. Chimes on a doorstep. I kind of think... I had it in my head what I thought it was. Now I've lost it. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's very well done. I can tell you that much. It's awfully well done. Smack the answer, quote disaster. It does sound like a rap, doesn't it? Dance your heart out. That's what it was. Dance your heart out for dimes. You remember in the olden days, they used to, I don't know if they did this in America, but going back to the speakeasies and going back to the small dives and things that people went to, they had ladies who would dance with gentlemen, and the gentlemen paid a dime for this privilege, and they would then get them to buy them drinks, which would be mostly water or whatever, just to make the extra money. That's what it made me think of at the time. Dance your heart out for dimes, and chimes on a doorstep, lost lovers in the wind. Yeah, I think it was very well written. Unfortunately, like often happens with me, I can get a little bit of an idea, but not enough to make a comment as good. Anyway, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. Yeah, back to you, Pam.
Well, you know what? I like what you had to say about the line of mentioning the dime, because I did not know that, and that is really cool to that you pulled that out of that line and gave us that little tidbit about history. So. Wonderful comment there. All right. And up next we have Tied Up in String by Betty Page. And Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
I certainly will. Just going to refresh. I must stop saying refresh. It sounds stupid. I'm going to refresh. I don't know why I say it like that.
I find it refreshing.
I think that's what we all say.
Do we?
Refresh your page.
Mm-hmm. Right. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Okay, Betty, talk it to me. Tied up in string. Tied up in string, tying loops of string, engaged, watching each motion, mesmerized by knots. Tainted poetry, drowning emotions in waves, hanging up her thoughts. Spilling drops of blood, blade in hand, she pierces swift stabs. Knife right in chest. Always loved him best. He's gone. He's so far away. Embraces silence. She's gazing at skies, watching bright stars zooming past. She enters darkness. Hollow, empty hell. No words are said. Know that well. Heart's not even here. Ripped it out slowly. Cut heart out with pretty blades. Her mind's so far gone. But she feels nothing. There is no love. There's no hate, only emptiness. End poem.
Wonderful read, Kate. And, oh, my goodness, what an emotive, dark write from Betty. Great imagery and metaphors. And I really thought she definitely went darker than many of the other writes, you know, especially with the imagery. Spilling drops of blood, blade in hand, she pierces swift, stabs knife right in chest. Always loved him best. He's gone. He's so far away. Embraces silence. You can just see within those lines the desperation and pain that this woman is suffering. And all the way through. And it's interesting because Tied Up in String is, to me, kind of a dark title, but that first stanza, tying loops of string, engaged, watching each motion, mesmerized by knots. You know, that first stanza, I actually didn't take as particularly dark as, well, I don't myself, my mother, my aunts, my grandma, they were all were into knitting and crocheting. I mean, my mom could watch TV and knit a baby blanket or crochet a hat at the same time. And, you know, it was just so automatic for her. She had done it since she was a teenager. So that's what I thought of there. And then it just keeps going progressively darker, and you feel the sadness and despair that this woman has. Hollow, empty hell, no words are said, knows that well, heart's not even here, ripped it out slowly. You know, that idea of, you know, getting to the point where you know you are so depressed, you don't even feel depression anymore. You just, that emptiness. So an emotive write and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this is a really intriguing write on the prompt. Because I'm looking at the prompt and the woman is sitting on a blanket in a field reading a book, which is the poetry, I'm sure, that's in Betty's second stanza. I think it was the second stanza. Yes. Painted poetry, drowning emotions in waves, hanging up her thoughts. And the fact that she's out in a, not a field, but a clearing, you know, I don't know, tying loops of string. Maybe she's watching a spider. I don't know. But it's clever, and it is different. Spilling drops of blood, I don't know if that's what she's reading or what she's feeling. It has to be what she's reading because she looks pristine in the image.
I
think that to me, that's where it's got to be. It's got to be in the book she has in her hand. But doesn't say that, you know, none of it's true for her. I think, but I said it was clever, and I said it was another character well created, you know, from the image itself. And Betty, you know, doing good here, girlfriend. I'm liking it. Thanks for sharing with us, that's for sure. Again, great use of, I think it's the 575. I didn't count them all, but I did count a couple. And I find that Betty really has a comfort zone in there, in that 575, which is nice, you know, because there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it kind of gives you a little bit of structure as you're working through your piece. I don't know. The last line, I think the last three lines here really, to me, capture the image, because she feels nothing. There's no love. There's no hate. Only emptiness. And the image does look kind of barren to me. So, I don't know. I think she captured it in those words. That's just me, in my opinion. So.
Yeah, I like that. And you know what? I have to agree. I, too, like the structure of Betty's 575 line. And I thought that was a great observation you had on that. Perhaps the darkness within the poem, you know, the pain and the blood was what the woman was reading about. So very cool there. And Kate, your thoughts?
I don't know about whether she was reading in the book or not, because I can't actually see the image. But at the moment, my head's kind of going with, she starts off telling us what is interesting, that thing that cat or caught her attention. And then we go from the knots to poetry. And she's thinking, yeah, all these emotions within the poetry, that affects her. That makes her start to look on the dark side. So this is a progression into depression. I think, anyway, this is my thoughts on it. So it becomes darker and darker in the dreadful sense, not in the light disappearing sense. And then she ends up, as we would all end up, I think, if we felt that same weight of depression. Mm-hmm. She feels nothing. There is no love. There's no hate. Only emptiness. Now, at that point, good heavens, you know, there is no way to go but up, Betty, from there. That's all you can do. You've got to that point. You realize that, in actual fact, although you feel empty, you're still here and you're still breathing And I think that there will then become a point where the person in the poem starts to realize that they can go up, they can make things better. It's not necessary to be on your own and empty. You can, and it's not easy. It's never easy to get out of something because, again, if you don't feel or you don't, you know, think about it, talk about it, you don't have to do anything about it. You just have to just sit, and that's not a good thing. So, yeah, I reckon there'll be a turning point. Definitely things will get far more interesting. But at the moment, this is just a well-written, very well-written piece of poetry, letting us see exactly how it feels to get to that point in your life, which I think was very well done. So thank you, Betty, for that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Well, I'm thinking we can get one more write in, and then we'll have carryovers. I think maybe, but I'll let people know for sure that we can, you know, I could do like an 8 spots only contest, and we'll have enough to do a part two show because we have quite a few carryovers. Anyway, that was the – yeah, I think that'll work. That was actually the end of the first contest, right? And now we're going to the second contest, which is the prompt was a quote by Bertha Morisot. My ambition is limited to the desire to capture something transient, and yet this ambition is excessive. And I'm going to put up Rooted in Muddy Quagmires, Lotus Flowers Bloom by Eric Svensson. And Jean, we have a SoundCloud for that whenever you're ready.
I thought you were getting ready to call me to read. I almost had a heart attack. Oh, my God.
Rooted in muddy quagmires, lotus flowers bloom. To have and to hold, arrest fleeting moments, tenderness engraved onto mindful copper plate, or darkroom photographic paper slides into solution. Gestalt moment arrested. And transient emotion is harder. Teardrops evaporate in tiny alabaster vases. Radiant smile on a child's face. Ardent ambrosia of effervescent laughter. To have and to hold, fleeting. Sudden rainbow arch, tessellated sky bridges your breath. Splice seconds in serrated thoughts. Western Syrah's window infuses. Transient moment sanctifies, replenishes spirit. Nature nudges, bear no grudges. Between bookends, birth and death, transient page number days hold sway. Rooted in muddy quagmires, lotus flowers bloom. End poem.
Wonderful read and write, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And how interesting that we had another poem for the show with the word gestalt in it. You know, I thought this had beautiful and brilliant imagery and metaphors. I thought it was a wonderful, heartfelt write on the amazement, the wonder of fleeting moments that touch the soul and really stick with the mind and the heart. I also like the title in the end line, Rooted in Muddy Quagmires, Lotus Flowers Bloom. You know, the idea that lotus flowers are so beautiful and that they grow from mud. You know, and so oftentimes things of beauty grow from things of ugliness. I really also like the lines, capturing transient emotion is harder. teardrops evaporate in tiny alabaster vases, radiant smile on a child's face, ardent ambrosia of effervescent laughter to have and to hold fleeting moments. Those are such stunning lines and very well done. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yeah, that was a stanza that I thought really said exactly what this was about, these transient emotions. And they are hard because they last just that nanosecond. And it's to be able to remember how it looked or how it felt is half the battle. But you want to hold on to them. You really do, because it's fascinating. It really is. The different things that make people feel happy. A rainbow arch. I always love seeing a rainbow arch. I'm always grabbing my spade and thinking, I'll get down the other end. I'll get some gold. And I know it's not going to happen, but I want it to. And that's the beauty of this kind of thing, holding on to things that made you feel full stop in this day and age. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I liked it a lot. And I particularly liked that last line. It was lovely. You were quite right there, Pam. Rooted in muddy quagmires, lotus flower blooms. Perfect. So thank you for sharing with us.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wonderful comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. When this first started, this poem, and I was listening, I wasn't looking, I was listening. And I looked up and I couldn't find out where the hell we were. I really thought we were like in the second or beginning of the third stanza. And I looked and I'm like, wait a minute. And all of a sudden I realized that we really were still in the first stanza. And I was like, what is that about? Right? Because I'm thinking, I'm ripping that in a time warp. Then, when he stuttered, the audio for some reason stuttered. Oh,
okay,
God.
I wasn't sure if that was just me.
Happened like 2-3 times. I was like, what is that? I'm saying, wow, I really must be in the Twilight Zone tonight. I really must, because it's stranger stuff. Anyway, I liked it, Eric. I really did. It was just so weird, though. I had to acknowledge that. I thought that, well, everything he does is nicely written. I mean, he has such a way with words. You know, and it was a little different because it didn't have all the same kind of references as some of his stuff does. And I like that. You know, I like that in this one here. I actually picked up the two ending stanzas and thought that they were, they were all good, you know. You picked 2 out of 4, right? But sudden rainbow arch, tessellated sky bridge catches your breath. Splice seconds illumine serrated thoughts. Western sky rose window and freezes. Transient moment sacrifices, replenishes spirit. It is. It only takes a second, you know, and you just feel it like almost flow into your soul. Like, here we go. I'm better again. You know, you feel lighter somehow. But nature nudges, day and age grudges. Between bookends, birth and death, transient page numbered days hold sway, rooted in muddy quagmires, lotus flat bloom. Out of some of the ugliest days, some of the best things are born. So that's what I'll say on that. And end of comment. The same.
Great comment. Thank you. Well, this has been a wonderful show. Remember, everyone, if you didn't hear your poem tonight, it will be carried over to next week's Twisted Tuesday. Thank you, as always, Jean and Kate, for being my Twisted Sisters. I appreciate you both and enjoy hanging out with you. Thank you, Jenny and Darkened Auras, for hanging out on the board. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. And Jean, would you like to say anything?
Keeping it brief tomorrow, 10:30 in the morning.
That's
the
right.
Production, 10:00 tomorrow night. And guess what? The two same people are going to be running both of those shows. You have Kate, Pam in the morning, and you have Pam and Kate in the evening. Yes, you will. We may have a special edition of After Midnight tomorrow night.
We're not quite sure, but we may. We'll find out.
Yeah, we're going to give it a whirl. So on that note, no, I have nothing else to say. Thank you. I'll try and be better behaved next time. I'm a little less airheaded.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll have to limit how many cards you can use next time.
Yeah.
No, you can't limit me with my cards. You cannot do that. I'll just say be right back. You know, that's where it happens. Anyway, great chat, Dan. Great prompt. And I look forward to next time. Thanks, everybody.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night. It was fun. Thank you so much. Catch you tomorrow.
Have a good one. Good night.
Good night.